32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We begin a new series on the trials and troubles and difficulties that come into our life. God has a purpose in all that we face. God has a purpose in it. And we must believe this by faith, that God is allowing these events to take place. All of our troubles and trials are all Father-filtered, and God is in control, and we look to Him for help. And I believe as we look at various passages of Scripture about troubles and trials, it really comes back to who God is, and we learn who God is through these troubles that He allows in our life. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, we have a wonderful passage of Scripture, one of my favorite passages of Scripture as it describes God's purposes in our life. Verse number 8 says this, the Bible says, and when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, and He sent bounds of the people according to the number of Israel. In verse number 9 it says, for the Lord's portion is His people, Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Now, God is speaking here of His people and God's work in their life. God's guiding and God's directing and God's provision among His people. He says in verse number 11, and as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them up on her wings. Look what the Bible says, verse number 12. So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with them. So the Lord, the Bible says. Maybe tonight you feel like things are all going wrong for you. You feel like if it wasn't for bad luck, you'd have no luck at all. It just seems like one event after another is happening. You take one step forward, you take two steps back. In this passage of Scripture, God gives an incredible illustration from His creation. And this illustration is that of a young eaglet. Now, spiritual lessons are often found throughout nature. God gives us various times in the Bible where we can learn from His creation. And yet, in this specific passage of Scripture, God is speaking of His people and is directing them. And God is saying, as the eagle would respond to those baby eagles, so the Lord was dealing in your life as well. Now, Moses is the author of the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses understood what it was like to see nature and to be a part of nature. For 40 years, he was a shepherd. And I can imagine that he saw this many times in his life, God's care and God's work. Now, what happens, as we see in this passage of Scripture, is that a mother eagle knows that one day that little eaglet, it's going to have to learn how to fly. In fact, an eagle was born to fly. And so for a long time, that baby eagle stays in the nest, and the mother will come to that nest and provide that baby eaglet with food, with nourishment, and there comes a time when that eagle, that baby eagle, has to fend for himself. He's going to have to learn how to fly. And so the mother eagle tries to coax that eaglet out of the nest, but of course that eaglet refuses to leave the nest. It's too comfortable in the nest. Everything that eaglet ever could want, it's provided in that nest. There's safety, there's security, there's provision in that nest. But the mother knows that eaglet is a tremendous flyer, and that God created that eagle to fly. And so the mother begins to work in that eaglet. What the mother will do is the mother will take her wings, those wings that were often used for security, those wings that were used for protection and for comfort and for warmth. The mother will take those giant broad wings and begin to flap them and flutter them in the nest. And it begins to be uncomfortable for that eaglet. I mean, you can imagine that eaglet is wondering, what in the world is going on? The Bible says that she flutters over it. She stirs up the nest. She puts everything in chaos. And that little eaglet begins to not like the nest anymore. It's not where that eaglet wants to be. And so as she is in such dismay, she finds a way out. And that little eaglet jumps out of that nest. And it begins to fall and to fall and to plummet to the ground, tumbling and screaming and pleading and falling and flopping. And just when that eaglet is falling to the ground and before it crashes into the rock, the Bible says the mother eagle will swoop down and she will bear up that eaglet on her wings. She'll bring that eaglet back in the nest. And the eaglet will think, what in the world was that? I'm glad that's over. But the mother's not done. She lifts those broad wings again and she begins to flap those wings and she begins to bring chaos in the nest and that eaglet jumps out of the nest again. And the same event takes place. And then one day something different happens. That eaglet begins to feel a sensation it's never felt before. There's air beneath its wings and they begin to feel the buoyancy and the lift. And all of a sudden, that baby eaglet, who was so comfortable in that nest, flies. And God says, as an eagle would brood over that eaglet and make it uncomfortable for them. God says, so the Lord was at work in your life as well. You see, God will often bring into our life what I like to call divine disturbances. Divine disturbances. Oftentimes, a lot that's happening in our life, we point our finger to the devil and we say to the devil, you do this, you're doing this, the devil's doing this, but maybe it's God at work in your life to make you uncomfortable in the nest where you have planted yourself. None of us like conflict. None of us like difficulty. Most of us are like the man who said, I like to build a sweet little nest somewhere in the West and let the rest of the world go by. But God is at work. And God doesn't want us to settle down. God doesn't want us to get comfortable. God has better things for us. It was Job who said in Job 29, verse 18, he said, I shall die in my nest. And how often, you know, we think of this in our own life, that we kind of plant our feet, we get comfortable where we are, and troubles and difficulties come. And we wonder, what in the world is going on? God allowed Job to have some trouble. And even though the devil had different plans with Job's life, the Lord allowed these things to take place because God was stirring up his nest. Job learned to fly. He learned to soar. He learned to trust in God through the difficulties that he experienced. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at various principles and trials. And I think one of the greatest principle we learn is about God's grace. And I'm not going to park there tonight because I know that it is a basic truth that we all understand, and But I do want us to look at this passage of Scripture in Paul's life and notice here in this Scripture a great principle that we need to understand when it comes to troubles. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 6, it says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall be a fool. For I say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, for that he heareth me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, most gladly therefore would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses." That's a lot of trouble. He says, "For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul didn't desire afflictions, but he did desire the work through afflictions. Paul wasn't crazy about the process, but he sure liked the product. God has a purpose in the troubles that we have. One preacher prayed this prayer. I think it's a great prayer for all of us. He said, "Lord, if I'm building a nest, put a thorn in it." And God brings these difficulties in our life with a purpose. George Truett was a Baptist preacher, and George Truett said this. He said, "If you have imagined that the ideal life is ease and rest and quiet, your imagination has been a vain one. The ideal life is marked by struggle and conflict and upheaval. We are born unto trouble," Job says, "as the sparks fly upward." Life is filled with difficulty. And yet it is our response to those difficulties that determine if we're going to soar with the eagles or if we're going to walk with the turkeys. Exodus chapter 14, would you turn there with me? Exodus chapter 14. And notice what the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, verse 10. If we could look at this together. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" They said, This is not a good place to be in. In verse 12, the Bible says, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians. It would be better for us to be in bondage than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." God stirred up the nest of the children of Israel. If bondage wasn't enough, he had brought them to a dead end. There was absolutely no place for them to go. I mean, things went from bad to worse. And it seemed that God had led them into an ambush, into a trap. And they were questioning God's leadership. They were questioning God's guidance. And yet God was just stirring up the nest so that they would stop looking at themselves and looking at what they could see and start looking at what they couldn't see, to see that God had it totally in control. And so why does God make it uncomfortable for us? Why does God stir up the nest in our life? Let me give you some thoughts. I wrote these down, and you can jot them down and pray over them and look at different scriptures, and I pray that God will use it to help you tonight. Number one, he stirs the nest to teach us and to help us to grow. You know, God created that mother eagle with that instinct that she knew what was best for that eaglet. And even when that baby eagle did not understand, and even when that baby eagle wanted to stay in that nest where it was comfortable and safe and warm and all of its needs were provided for, that mother knew that that eagle was born to fly. And God also knows today that we were born again to thrive. The Christian life is not the dead end in your life. It is where it just begins. We have abundant life in Jesus Christ. And God wants us to soar. God wants us to grow in our Christian life. But oftentimes we become comfortable in our spiritual nest, and we don't want to step out by faith and take that leap of faith, trusting God that He knows what is best for us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." The writer of Hebrews said, you should be a teacher. You should be instructing other people of the goodness and the work of God. But instead, you have to be taught the very fundamentals of the Bible. You're not growing. You're not thriving. You're not soaring like the eagles. God wants us to grow. You know, afflictions bring patience. And patience is a wonderful picture of spiritual maturity. You meet some Christians and it feels like they're just one trial away from quitting on God. They're just one trial away from throwing in the towel. And yet you meet a Christian who is spiritually mature and has patience and endurance and is trusting God. And they have seen a lot in their life, but their eyes are focused on the Lord. And they're moving forward. Ephesians 4, verse 14 says, "That ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine." And there's lots of winds of doctrines blowing in our world today. And the Bible says you need to know what you believe. You need to thrive in your Christian life. Don't just be carried away with every idea and every wind of doctrine that blows by you by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. There's a lot of deceivers in our world today. They're just waiting for someone to take the bait. And so we need to spiritually mature. And so God stirs up the nest so that we can, first of all, depend on God. Depend on God. God will bring you to some places in your life where you're just not going to have the answers. And you're going to have to trust in Him. And listen, I'm not making light of anyone's circumstance, because I understand from experience those places are hard. And those places are difficult. And yet, it is in these places that lessons that cannot be learned anywhere else that will be learned when God stirs up the nest. The children of Israel had already planned their funerals. They said, it's done. You have brought us here to die. And yet, God showed up. God was at work. A stirred nest teaches us to depend on the Lord. Alexander McLaren, a theologian of the past, said, "Up to the very edge we are driven. Before he puts out his hand to help us, it is best for us that we should be brought to desperation to say, 'My foot slips,' and then, just as our toes feel the ice, help comes and his mercy holds us up. At the last moment, never before it, never until we have discovered how much we need it, and never too late, comes the helper as we realize our desperate state. We depend on God. God stirs up the nest. But also, God, not only that we would learn dependence on God, but we would receive direction from God. In the illustration given to us in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 12, the Bible says, "So the Lord alone did lead them." God was leading them. God was stirring their nest because God had a place that he wanted them to be. And remember, in the Christian life, our destination is not to a location or a physical place, but a person, Jesus. God wants us to be closer to him. And so he stirs the nest to teach us to have faith in God. In Acts 27, Paul's on a ship, he's heading to Rome, he's going to have to stand before Caesar, and a great storm comes, and God says to Paul, he says, "Paul, you're going to be safe, and everyone with you is going to be safe." And Paul stood before those people, and he said, "Listen to my word, for I believe God." I have faith in God. God stirs up the nest so that we will grow. But also he stirs up the nest so that we will know. Turn with me to the book of Exodus in the 19th chapter. Would you turn there as we compare Scripture with Scripture? God uses this illustration once again, and we get a glorious picture of what God was doing among the Israelites in Exodus chapter 19 in verse number 4. Exodus chapter 19 in verse number 4. The Bible says this. Now this is speaking here after the Red Sea. God was stirring up the nest. And God says in Exodus chapter 19 verse 4, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." Look at this. "And how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." God's work as the nest is stirred is that we would jump out of the nest of self-dependence and we would jump into God's care and God's protection and God's help in our life, that we would be brought closer to the Lord. As the mother stirs the nest and causes the eaglet to climb out of that nest and tumble to the ground, and that mother swoops down and bears that eaglet on its wings, God says, "I've also bore you on my wings, and I've brought you unto myself." In the trials of our life, there is one thing that is sure. And I think you would agree with me if you've gone through any kind of struggle, any kind of trial, trouble, that it's at those times you learn who God is. Paul says that I may know him. He wasn't talking about book learning. He wasn't talking about learning about God in an educational way. Though all of those things are good, Paul says, "I want to experience God in my life. I want to know he is a good God. I want to know he's a caring God. I want to know that he is a God that provides. I want to experience answered prayer, that I may know him." And in those trials, we know our God. That's why the psalmist said, by the way, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I know that he's good, but maybe you need to experience his goodness in your life. And in those troubles, taste and see that God is good. Turn with me to James chapter 1 and notice what the Bible says here. James chapter 1 and verse 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 1. This is a familiar passage of Scripture when it comes to trials and troubles, and often preached on troubles. And really, it's a familiar and yet very simple truth that James is teaching us. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse, or often said diverse temptations, different temptations, different troubles, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When pressure is applied to what you believe, because it's easy to believe something when everything is great, but when that pressure comes to what you believe, now we're going to see if you truly believe it. And the Bible says here that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word patience is endurance. How in the world can someone learn endurance? How is that possible? What has to happen? They have to have something to endure. You can't learn endurance if you're never put to the test. And so if you're praying, Lord, give me patience, you have no idea what you're praying. Because the only way that you're going to learn endurance to go through something is to go through something. And as you endure, what happens? You see God. You see He is faithful. You see that He is good. You see that He always keeps His word. And so James is saying, listen, he says, my brethren, count it joy when you go into these different temptations, and as you endure them, when you come out on the other end, you're going to be better than when you started, because you're going to experience God in your life. And that's a joy. Listen, I understand troubles, difficulties, they're frustrations. But beyond the trouble, there's a joy, because you get to experience the hand of God in your life. And I'm here to tell you that God is always faithful and God is always good, and He will always keep His word. He says here, and let patience, endurance, have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. That's speaking of spiritual maturity and entire, wanting nothing. Because when you experience God and He is all you have, you realize that He is all you need in your life. But wait a minute, He's not done. He said in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, how? The context, remember we learned about studying the Bible, context is important. He's talking about trials here. If you're lacking wisdom when God is stirring the nest of your life, let him ask of God. And He giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God will give you wisdom as you go through the troubles and trials of your life. But let him ask of faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a man, a wave that is of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. I'm going to trust in God. No, I'm going to figure this out. No, I'm going to trust in God. No, what's my backup plan? Don't think that God is going to give you the grace and the wisdom to get through it. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James speaks about facing the unexpected trials when you fall into these troubles. I don't know where it came from. It just came from nowhere. Here's a trouble. Here's a trouble. Here's a trial. And God is just stirring the nest in your life. so that you will learn, so that you will know that God is a good God, and that God will always keep His word, and that He will give you wisdom and direction and guidance in your life. Because trials, if we respond right, will always bring us to God. I think you would agree with me that it is during some difficult times in your life you've probably learned how to pray. You've gotten into your Bible. You sought the face of God. You found that you were not sufficient, that God was sufficient. It's during those times that we learn to know God. And then lastly, we'll be done here tonight. He stirs the nest so that we will grow, so that we will know. And He stirs the nest so that we will glow, that we will be a light. The eaglet is a wonderful example of God's creation, its majesty in the air. And God created it that way. And as we stare really at the amazement of this creature in the air, we understand God's handiwork. We understand that God is the creator of it. And God is at work in our life today because God wants us to be a light. And that's what I mean by the thought there of glowing, is that God wants us to radiate His presence and His light to a lost and dying world. God wants us to reveal His glory. The greatest example of God's grace that is seen in your life, and I hate to say this, but it's absolutely true, the greatest example of God's grace in your life is your attitude when you go through difficulty. Because let's be honest, the world doesn't care that you call yourself a Christian when everything's okay, but they'd start to pay attention when they see God's grace in your life when things are difficult. I heard the story of a missionary. Him and his wife gave their life to a tribe of people in Africa and faithfully preached the gospel for 40 years. And one day, his wife got really sick and she died. Over these 40 years, not one individual in that tribe put their faith and trust in Jesus. Not one person. And he was pretty discouraged. His wife was pretty discouraged. And really the burden of discouragement hit him the most when his wife went home to be with the Lord. And months after that event took place, God was good to him. God showed him grace. And all of a sudden, one member of the tribe after another began to receive Jesus as their Savior. And he didn't understand it. There was a great revival among the people. Many put their faith and trust in Christ. And one day he was talking to the leader of the tribe who became a Christian. And he said to that individual, he says, "I don't understand. For 40 years, my wife and I labored in this place preaching the gospel. And not one person got saved. And months after my wife went to be with the Lord, all of a sudden you trusted the Lord and all of those other people trusted the Lord." He said, "Why?" And the leader of that tribe said, "We always knew that your God could help in life. But we wanted to see what your God could do in death. Because in trials, our light shines. And the world wants to know how we respond to these difficulties." I want you to turn, if we could, to Matthew chapter 5 as we conclude the message. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And notice in this scripture here, this is the Sermon on the Mount, and in verse number 11 gives us some insight here. The Bible says this in verse 11, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad." That's hard to do. That takes a special grace. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 13. In my Bible, there's a space there. It's like a different thought, but it's not a different thought. He says in verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost a savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, it says, so let your light so shine before men. Look at this. That they may see your good works. What good works is he talking about? Well, he just defined it in verse 11 and 12. To respond in grace when you are persecuted. When you go through troubles and trials and difficulties. To act like Jesus. He said that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because it takes a special grace to love a Nero. It takes a special grace to embrace a leader who persecutes you and hates you and tries to destroy you. It's a light that cannot be put out. It is a light that shines brighter than any other light that we can put forth. It's to love our enemies and to show grace in times of trouble. And so God, who is concerned for the world, he takes a Christian and he says, you want that person to be saved, you want that person to be saved, so I'm going to stir your nest and I'm going to give you grace and wisdom so that you can be a light to those people. I understand that it's not a popular thought. But as the eagle, the Bible says, so the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? As the eagle, so the Lord. And God may be stirring your nest today. He wants you to soar. He wants you to grow. He wants you to seek. He wants you to know. And he wants you to shine today. He wants you to glow. And so the Lord, and it may be happening even today. I don't know your heart, but he's going to stir the nest, so that you will trust in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful, Lord, for